6 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. It's a very interesting thing here with Cowherd coming out telling his audience yesterday or the day before that, whenever, that Russell Wilson reached out to Sean Payton. And the more I think about it, we just started talking about it today, but just like the last 20 minutes thinking about this, do you think Greg Penner knew that Russ was calling a potential head coach? There's a lot of things to still sort out before you can have Sean Payton as your next head coach. You got to figure out how much you're going to pay him, and you got to figure out how much you're going to give the Saints, and you got to assume everybody's good with that. Do you think they knew?
I think they would. I'm sure there is some kind of regulation you have to go through and when you can talk to a coach, at what time you can talk to him, for how long you could probably talk to him. It is interesting. I can't think of a player calling a coach before any real deal gets made. There's not even rumors about what happened with their interview or anything like that earlier this week. So we're kind of just going off of what Colin Cowherd says. So trust him if you want.
But Well, he said he had dinner with Sean Payton the night before.
Russell did?
No, that Cowherd had dinner with Sean Payton, and that's when everything was revealed.
That seems a little fishy.
See, my thing is if you're going to go to have dinner with him, my guess is Cowherd has a notebook, and he's writing things down that he can say on his show.
That's not dinner. That's an interview.
Maybe it's just a casual conversation. Because, okay, I've gone out for coffee, whatever, with coaches before up here. Players, athletic director, one athletic director. I've had conversations where we have good conversation the whole time. And then it's, what can I use of this? And I don't know if I don't have a notebook. I'm not writing it down. But you are saying, even if it's just a phone call from a head coach. I remember during the COVID stuff, Coach Medved called me when they were going through, remember when they didn't play? CSU didn't play UNC. They were supposed to play him, but then they said they couldn't, but then they ended up scheduling the CSU Pueblo game. Like, Medved called me. We had a good conversation as to why everything was going down. And there was only portions of that I could really use for the show. Not that it was, like, groundbreaking stuff that's going to destroy someone's life. It was just the processes that every team was going through. And I just wonder if Cowherd is sitting down, they're having a good conversation, and he's basically saying, okay, well, what can I use for the show tomorrow? Don't you think that Sean Payton would have given him the green or red light on Russell Wilson? Oh, you can use that.
Is this a strategy from Payton to get other offers from other teams?
Is he Aaron Rodgers-ing it?
Say, oh, well, I talked to Russell. Yeah. Can I get Kyler on the phone? There's no quarterback in Houston, so I can talk to their GM or whatever.
I don't know about that. I do think that there's part of me that thinks that he's definitely... Why are we hearing suddenly, and then he goes to dinner with Cowherd, and it's leaked that this makes the most sense for him? But it's the same stuff Rodgers did. You know, Mark Schlereth, who I have a lot of respect for, does radio in Denver. You remember before the draft last year? He said Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Denver Bronco. It's done. The trade is going to happen. It was before the draft. It was before the first round started. It was right then, and it didn't happen. Rodgers never wanted to be traded. He wanted a better contract in his last few years as a Packer. Is that what Sean Payton is doing here? To leverage the Broncos, to use the Broncos, and to tell Cowherd all these things? Like, why is this coming out? Why is it coming out that Russell Wilson called him? It just goes to show you that the Broncos really want him, right? So you're right. Maybe the quarterback thing does have something to do with it. And Sean Payton's now using that for the Houstons, the Arizonas, Fox even, Carolina, to up that offer.
Could the Broncos be withholding their offer until after they talk to Dan Quinn tomorrow?
I don't think yes, I do. They're going to go through the process first. They're going to talk to Dan Quinn. They're going to give it the full attention that it needs. And then I think they're going to come back and there might be another round of interviews. I really do. And again, with Payton, before they make the offer, they have to call the Saints and say, what's it going to take? We're prepared to make him this offer. So what's it going to take? Let's get that out of the way now. And then you go from there. Which is interesting because if they trade for his rights, wouldn't they just have to pay him what the Saints are paying him? I guess he'd have to renew his contract.
Buy out that last year.
And then you just...
And then give him a new contract.
You just do what they did with Russell Wilson. Sign him and extend him to a big contract. If I'm Sean Payton, and I'm being honest, and I'm a Broncos guy, I love the Broncos. I want the best for them. But if I'm Sean Payton, I am going back to Fox. I live in Los Angeles. The idea of moving across the country to Carolina is, and with no quarterback in sight, with no real direction. I mean, yeah, they did a little bit better with Wilkes at the end and all that stuff, and that's good for them.
They're in an obvious rebuilding.
You're not picking them to win to go to the playoffs next year, right? You feel confident that the Panthers are not a playoff team.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm not going there. Houston, Bryce Young's appealing, but it's still Houston. There's a lot of stuff. I still like that prospect more than the others, if I'm Sean Payton. But I'm still looking at it going, it's Houston. They have a lot of baggage. I mean, the way they treated Lovie Smith at the end, all the Deshaun Watson stuff, everything that's gone into it with Houston over the years. I'm not excited about it, but I am excited that I got a top pick and I could get a quarterback out of that.
Do you think coaching in the AFC or NFC is being considered for him? Do I want to go to the AFC West with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, possibly Tom Brady? Or do I want to stay in the NFC where I know it's probably going to be a little easier and I'm used to playing those teams?
Well, if you go to Carolina, Tampa Bay's done. Tom Brady days are done. So is that division yours for the taking? Suddenly that changes my mind a little bit. Like, oh, Carolina's... Yeah,
the only
thing
with Carolina
you have to consider.
Trading to a divisional opponent. That's the only
thing.
That's
true, and I think the price is going to go up if they do that. I think they would do it. I just think that they would ask for more from Carolina. I think they might even ask more from an Arizona, since they're not as much that they'd ask for Carolina, but an NFC team. And then if I look at Arizona and the possibilities there, Kyler Murray's young enough where he's still moldable, but is he? That's the question. You got the Call of Duty stuff still out there. Arizona's in a tough spot. They hired a GM that does have connection to Sean Payton, though. But you're right on the AFC West thing. If I'm going to go back and recharge my career, I have to get through Patrick Mahomes. And if Staley can figure it out, I have to get through Justin Herbert. And if the Raiders get Tom Brady with Josh McDaniels when Brady was at his best, do I want to go mess with that? With Russ? Called me. That was great. Nice guy. But is that, if Penner and George Payton didn't know about Russell calling him, if I'm Sean Payton, that's also another red flag. Is it you're the one making the phone calls now?
I just feel like you wouldn't be able to just pick up the phone and call him and talk to him about a possible position.
I get, unless you're that friend.
Unless you called the NFL and said, hey, I'm Russell Wilson, I want to talk to Sean Payton.
According to Coward, it's legal. He can call and talk to him. Is there a line of what he can say? Can they not talk? Can he not talk about what's it going to take to get you here?
Can't talk numbers or anything like that.
There's too many chefs in this kitchen, Angel. That's what, if I'm Sean Payton, even though the call was nice and maybe we had a good conversation, there's too many chefs. Greg Penner, George Payton, Russell Wilson, now you. Who makes the decisions around here?
You would think it's Penner from his statement about Hackett, but it's hard to say. You're a new owner to an NFL franchise. Peyton's kind of just being pushed off to the side because of his decisions. Mm. And now you have Russell, who is kind of taking it on his own to recruit Peyton.
Why is George Payton why is he on the payroll? Now you got your quarterback recruiting, whether you knew about it or not. Who Russ should answer to George Payton, right? Right now?
He's his boss.
Yeah, so did George Payton know about this? It's a weird dynamic. Is this being leaked on purpose? Did Sean Payton go to... Why would Sean Payton... They may be friends. Cowherd's friends with a lot of people. That's why he gets scoops.
He's on his show all the time.
He's on there. They get scoops. Fox. They have the relationship because of Fox. Is that something, though, it's like, hey, buddy, buddy, let's go talk. And basically, it's go ahead and put it out there that the Broncos make a lot of sense to me.
Well, he's in the TV business. He knows how this works.
Yeah, he does. Knows it more than Aaron Rodgers does. Is this what he's doing? Is he just doing what Rodgers did? He has no interest in being with the Broncos. He's just driving up the price.
That's what it feels like.
And is the Cowboys' job still out of it? If the Cowboys go and upset, they have San Francisco, right? If they go pull off an upset and beat San Francisco, then officially I think we can say Mike McCarthy's safe, right?
It'd be hard to fire him. I think it is hard to fire him right now.
I think it is too, because of the way they beat the Buccaneers. They didn't just beat them, they beat the hell out of them. They might beat San Francisco. They might. I don't know. We got picks tomorrow. But that job is still appealing. And I don't know if that would come open, though, even though... Because you just got that playoff win. So that one's... I don't know. If I'm a betting man, I'm probably saying McCarthy stays. That's what I would go with. Is Jerry Jones going to not care what everybody else is saying about him? But I just, it seems weird and clunky to me again. The Broncos have seemed clunky. And those of you that just think that it's going to get, oh, new owners, Walmart came in and bought the team, it's going to get better, like that. You have to develop a culture. You just bought this team. We haven't dealt with this.
You just bought this team, overextended your quarterback, fired your head coach and took all the power from your GM. I know Sean or Peyton said that this was a stable front office. It doesn't look like it.
I don't.
Because I can't
like,
tell
right
you
now,
who's making
not.
Decisions right now.
Is it Greg Penner? Who does Russell Wilson answer to? Who is in charge of saying yes or no, you can call this guy we're prospecting? Because now you just showed all your hand. If you're the Broncos, we want you bad.
Well, you kind of have to.
I guess. There's no negotiating going on here then. This is no negotiating, you know, with Walmart and all their people that they deal with. There's no negotiation. Here's what I want. You pay it or I'm going back to Fox. No issues. And if there was any negotiation, we might go with Dan Quinn. We really like him. Well, Russell Wilson just called. You know, it's like, it's clunky. This is another example of the Broncos organization being in a clunky situation. Mysterio says, if y'all want to win, you need to sign Danny Quinn. Eastside Chris, just another Wilsonism. He needs to stay in his lane. And does that make you want to come here?
His name's Mr. Unlimited.
If you're Sean Payton, is this what you want to do? You want to spend your last shot, probably, at being a head coach? I guess. I don't know. I guess he could go somewhere else. But if you sign a 5-year deal with Denver, can't imagine another job after that.
Well, I mean, you're tied to Russell Wilson no matter what.
That's it. Walmart, Greg Penner, George Payton, Bobby Boucher, all those guys aside, are you good being tied to Russell Wilson? For better or for worse. That is a gamble. If you go to Houston, yeah, you got a quarterback that's young that you could bring up. You could really prove who you are as a coach. Not a guy that you got from the San Diego Chargers at the time and Drew Brees, who was pretty good. He was on his way up, and the Chargers just decided they were in a good enough spot to draft. They took Phillip Rivers. Well, with that weird trade situation with the Giants and Eli Manning and all that. So it worked out. But you are tying yourself to Russ, and now it's just weird again. Went and had dinner with Cowherd, and now suddenly Cowherd's leaking it, which he's doing his job, right? We're all talking about it. But he knows what he's doing. Sean Payton does. Where does he want to go, though? What's the most appealing job? And is Denver really the more appealing than Arizona and Houston?
Is he starting to think that I should wait a year?
I would.
Because there might be better jobs next year.
Absolutely. The Rams job might come back open. If they lose again next year, miss the playoffs, Sean McVay might go through this whole thing again. 2 years in a row, he has contemplated whether he wanted to retire. He did this last year. He did it this year. If they're bad again next year, Does he go, okay, I did the right thing and I stuck it out as long as I could, but I don't see any end to this. I'm out.
What if they're not bad? What if they're decent and building in the right direction and Sean says, hey, Sean, here's your team.
He
ready
could,
for you.
He could do that too. He could say, I did my part. I left it better than when I got there. I left it better than what I than it was the year before, and I wanted to make sure I'm not a jerk and known as a guy that left when the going got tough. So I'm going to fight through. We're going to get to 9 wins. Maybe we're a playoff team again. And then I can say, okay, I at least feel better about that. It's better than it was. And now I'm out. Yeah, the Rams job is still something that could happen next year. The Cowboys job is still something that could happen next year. If Dan Quinn goes to Denver, there goes the heir apparent to Dallas. And if the Cowboys, whatever happens this year, they don't deliver next year. Yeah, Mike McCarthy's not a good enough coach and well-respected enough coach right now to just be given, you know, that kind of confidence that he's going to be the guy no matter what. It's not there for him. There's other jobs that could come open down the road. You don't think, I mean, just looking at some of these teams with their head coaching uncertainties at this stage, there's other jobs that could come open. I mean, I know it's crazy, but like, what if Baltimore misses the playoffs next year? Pittsburgh will never fire Mike Tomlin. Nobody ever wants a Cleveland job. Jacksonville's safe. Tennessee's safe, even though they went 7-10. Still like Vrabel a lot, right? How about the Colts job? Like now, even. That's one that's not really being talked about a lot.
Yeah, and I don't think I've seen Sean Payton tied to the Colts, but that could definitely be a job open next year. If whoever they get this year isn't the guy, if they stick with Saturday for another year, they interviewed him today again,
yeah.
So could do that for another year and just hold out.
How about the Raiders' job?
Sure.
How about the Chargers again? Two AFC West teams right there. This is all next year. How about, well, we talked about the Cowboys. Giants are safe. Washington.
How about Tampa?
Washington wouldn't work because Washington's the ownership issue, all that stuff. Tampa Bay. Carolina's in the mix this year. That's kind of it for next year. So, but I'm telling you, there's the Raiders. They miss the playoffs next year. That job's open. Vegas. Sean Payton in Vegas. Maybe with Tom Brady. I don't know. I'm just saying there might be some unique opportunities next year too, including the two Los Angeles jobs, the Dallas job, the Tampa job, the Raiders job. The Chargers, oh, I said that, Chargers job. There's going to be more openings next year. And hopefully the Broncos get it right, and so their job won't be opening next year, too. If I'm Sean Payton, I'm staying put. I'm staying with Fox, but I don't know. I thought the phone call was weird. Another strange thing in this Russell Wilson world that we live in. 24 minutes after the hour. Let's get a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The UNC Bears playing Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Just 27 minutes after the hour, the poll question of the day is, do you have any concerns about Sean Payton and his background and his Bounty Gate stuff and the way he left New Orleans? Any concerns there? Or is it just, you know what, he won a Super Bowl. He's been to the playoffs a lot. He figured, you know, he got Drew Brees to play his best football. Is that what it is? Are you just, is this the name and that's fine? Yeah, go vote at thewholeshow.com. Let me know. It looks like, look at that, dude. Most people saying no. No issues. No, we're all good. Over 75% now saying, it's all good with me, man. Don't worry about it. Not concerned in the slightest that he was involved in one of the biggest scandals in NFL history.
Just want wins, Brady.
Just want wins. Don't care what cost. But, yeah, I mean,
we'll sacrifice our morals.
Yes, yes, we will. 16. Okay, now it's changed a little bit. 30% saying yes, they have a problem with it. So a little bit more than it was moments ago. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We'll see what your where you're leaning, but it looks like Broncos country's good. You can sleep at night knowing that Sean Payton's your head coach. No, it's do I think Sean Payton's a bad guy? I don't think so. Not that I know of. Doesn't seem like it. Seems like a really likable guy, actually, when you watch him on Fox. It's more of the dynamic of safety and all that stuff that we talk about. Do I think Sean Payton's ever going to get involved in Bountygate again? No. He's never going to be a head coach with a team and they're going to pay players to hurt players. He's never going to do that. Do I even think that he was the one who instigated this and started it? I think it was Greg Williams who brought it over from Washington. I think he was doing it in Washington. I think he was doing it his whole career. That guy should not be in the league. He never should be again, but he was 2 years ago. But Sean Payton knew about it, and he covered it up. He denied it. And they, you know, it did come out later. That's why he got suspended for a year. He knew about it. Covered it up. That's part of this deal. So, would I think that this is the worst hire ever? No, I'm worried about the draft picks. That's the main thing. I'm astonished that in this day and age, and even at that time, that Sean Payton and company are still able to go out and coach and be on TV like it's nothing. Yeah, it's fascinating to me. Doesn't mean I think that Sean Payton is a bad guy. He did serve a suspension. You know, it's not like he got off scot-free. He got suspended. Just fascinating. The draft picks, to me, is the other big thing. That's the big thing. That's the concern. Meanwhile, team you don't have to worry about right now is the Nuggets. Just rolling through it again. They have the Pacers tomorrow night. Are they going to get that 10 we talked about? They've won 8 in a row, Angel. And the only loss they've had since was against the Timberwolves, also on a back-to-back. But they got some revenge on that game. They won last night, 122-118. It wasn't pretty.
No, but it's great that the Nuggets, they don't even need their head coach to win games.
Yeah, Malone's missed the last two games. And they scored 122 in both those games. So I don't know if that's something. But yeah, Malone, I don't know if he'll be back tomorrow either.
I haven't heard anything about him.
No. But that's the thing when you establish a culture too, is yes, I think Malone is important. You know, very shallow basketball fans can watch and go, well, how do they win without their coach? How important really is a coach? The coach is there to set up the foundation, to build it, and that's by doing it every single day. That way, if he's not there for maybe one night or two nights, the culture and everything, the leaders you have instilled, the assistants and all that, can at least put a Band-Aid over it while you're out. Coaching absolutely matters.
Definitely, and I think Malone has created a really good coaching culture just for his staff, and the players respect it. The coach that has been filling in as interim, they seem to love it. They gave him a water bath in the locker room after his first win. And that just shows the chemistry and the love and, you know, just teammates that this team has created out and the culture they've created. It's winning culture. And it's not, you know, we're going to go buy superstar after superstar. It's we're going to build from within. We're going to make smart decisions in free agency and trades. We're going to be smart with our contracts. And we're going to build this culture together.
Alex English tweeted out, last night, I knew that eventually my all-time assist record would be broken. I'm honored to see that it's three-time MVP of the NBA do it. Congrats to the big fella.
It's almost like a given he's going to get it, right?
Yeah.
All the media members are saying, yeah, Jokic will probably get the next MVP.
At this point, it's sure feeling like it. I watched Dallas in Atlanta last night, or yesterday a little bit, and I'm watching Luka score 21 points in the first quarter. Unstoppable. And then he didn't score in the second. And so, Luka's amazing. He is. But do I think he's better than Nikola Jokic? No. Nikola Jokic is the better player between the two. And the cool thing is the thing I was wrong about, I thought, oh, this team's going to be so stacked this year with Jamal back and MPJ. Joker's not going to need to score 30 very often. He's had to do a lot of that lately, and it's not to say that Jamal's been bad. Jamal's been a good player. Porter's been a good player. Gordon's been great. But they still need him to score. He's averaging 25 points a game. See, he's got that up. At the beginning of the season, first 20 games or so, he was at like 22, 21.
He's almost at a triple-double.
He's almost at a triple-double. He's averaging 11 rebounds. He's averaging 9.9 assists. And I thought he would average about a triple-double. I really did. I just didn't think we'd see 25 points per game. I thought we'd see 22, 21. And then you compare that to Luka, who's close to averaging a triple-double. He's in the 30s. So, but you also look at the record now. And now you have to really say, okay, it feels like Joker. Luka is averaging 33 points per game, about 9 rebounds per game, and about 9 assists per game. So, I mean, he's right around that mark, too. Difference is, he's averaging 33, which gives him an edge over Joker, but Joker and the Nuggets' record right now is what's going to keep them going. And that's why I think Joker has to be considered the favorite, because he's averaging 8 points less than Luka, but their team is much better because of it. Luka's right. Listen, Luka's right there. If the season ended today and they crowned Luka the MVP, I would be a little sad, but I would not fight it like I would have last year had Joel Embiid or somebody like that beat Joker. This does feel like Luka and Jokic, like that's it. That's the competition. It's between those two guys. But I do think that maybe that point total needs to go up a little bit for Joker to really stamp that. But you're right. It does feel like the media and everything, it feels like everybody is looking at this. Is looking at Joker winning his third MVP in a row. It's getting magical, man. And if you can add a championship trophy to that, now you're talking about the GOAT in Denver. Now you're talking about a top 10, top 7 player of all time. Now you're really talking about business with Joker. Special deal. It's special. And you got a coach in Michael Malone that got the best out of him, that figured it out with him early on. And is figuring it out now, because you're coaching Joker differently than you coached him 5 years ago, 6 years ago. He's a super-duper star now. You got to coach him a little bit differently. And Malone continues to walk that balance. They have a team that really loves him. It's basketball. It's less guys to coach. But it just when you find that guy, like the Avs have, no matter what happens this season, they have been through it. Georgiev was fantastic last night, though.
30-something saves.
Yeah, ridiculous. But you have coaches like Bednar and Malone that just have it. Didn't think Bednar was going to have it. When they hired him, he didn't have any NHL head coaching experience. His first year was one of the worst years in franchise history. But they stuck with it. Joe Sakic stuck with it, and they got themselves a Stanley Cup out of the deal.
And there's really, on both teams, there's not a lot of ego. They're star players, yes.
There's a lot of superstar players, but
McKinnon,
not a lot of ego.
McCarr, Jokic, yep. They're not all over the place boasting themselves.
No. And even Jamal and Gordon, like, you just don't see it. Because it's a team group, and it's whether that's they all follow Joker's lead or they followed Malone's lead or kind of a mixture of the two, you just don't have it. There's not a lot of cockiness with these teams, and same with Bednar. And that's what if you're Denver, if you're the Broncos, how do you find that guy? How do you find that guy that can get the best out of your stars? That can get the best out of a good defense? How can you make him great? How can you get the best out of Russell Wilson? How can you continue to get what we saw with Jerry Jeudy in the last 5 or 6 games? Can you come in and get the best out of these guys? It's not just X's and O's. It's not just making the right in-game decisions. It's how are you motivating these players and develop them? Are you hiring the right guys to help develop them? Are you getting the right coaching staff in that can really foster an environment that's going to help Jerry Jeudy grow into the receiver we all expected him to be when Denver drafted him early in the first round a few years ago? Can you get the best out of a close to the Hall of Fame? Can you get him to the Hall of Fame? John Elway always said, when they first brought Peyton Manning in, Elway said, Manning's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the top greatest top quarterbacks ever. Our job here is to now make him the best. So if you're Sean Payton now, and George Payton, and Greg Penner, and I guess Russ, it's how do we get Russell Wilson back into the Hall of Fame conversation? And he doesn't need to be in the MVP conversation. That needs to go away. If he wins it as a byproduct of the game plan and everything, great. But you can get in the Hall of Fame if you go win a Super Bowl, regardless of, you know, whether you're the top 10 passer in the league or not. If you go win another Super Bowl, that's going to help you get in the Hall of Fame. That's going to really set you up. 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Jeff Linder, head men's basketball coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboys, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. I have a pair of tickets for tonight's game. I just realized we have to give those away. UNC going up against Eastern Washington men's basketball tonight at 6 o'clock at Bank of Colorado Arena. This is a big game, and I think it's going to be a good one. The Bears are only 2.5-point dogs in this game, so they're, you know, the national folks, the wise guys, they're expecting this one to be a good game tonight. So let's get you out to it. Let's go caller number 6 on the First Advantage hotline. Caller 6, 970-353-1310. That's 970-353-1310. Caller number 6, you got a pair of tickets coming your way to go see the UNC Bears take on Eastern Washington at Bank of Colorado Arena. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The poll question of the day, available at theholeshow.com. Do you have any issue with Sean Payton's Bounty Gate background when considering him for the next Broncos head coaching job? And it sounds like the majority of you guys are saying, no, I don't have any issues with that going forward. Well, there you go. I mean, I think that primarily it does seem like the fan base out there wants Sean Payton. He seems to be the guy. We shall see. Dan Quinn's name is still, I think, up in that in the favorites at this stage. But it's going to take a mid to late first round. How late a first round are you willing to go? The better the Niners do, the harder it's going to be for the Broncos to acquire Sean Payton. So you're all Cowboys fans this weekend, Broncos country. How about that?
Cowboys got to ride on a horse, right?
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You get some help from your cowboy. You need it. Because if San Fran loses, then it's what, 25 or 6 or something?
Yeah, you know, that bottom 6.
So that's mid to late. You don't want to go 31 or 32. That's too late. That's my thoughts anyway. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Getting excited about this divisional round of the NFL playoffs. If it's anything like what we saw during Wild Card Weekend, should be a lot of fun. Jags, Chiefs start us out on Saturday. Then Giants and Eagles. The spreads are much better, too, than what we were seeing last week. I mean, there's no nines on here. 8.5 is the KC Jags spread. 7.5 is Giants, Eagles, 5.5 Bengals, Bills, and then 49ers, Cowboys is San Francisco 4-point favorite. So can Brock Purdy keep it going for San Francisco, or is this finally the year that the Cowboys and this belief in Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and our beloved CSU Ram Michael Gallup can take this team to the next level? Micah Parsons, one of the best in the league now. Can they get there? Or are the Niners just too much for them to overcome? It should be an absolute blast. What's your favorite storyline? Is it Brock Purdy in this weekend? Is it the nobody believes in the Jags thing? Is it the Bills? Probably not the Bills for you, Angel.
No.
Daniel Jones, the Eagles only losing 3 games this year. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'm biased, but I'm leaning towards the Jalen Hurts story. I've watched his career since he was like a junior in high school, so seeing him at this level and performing at that level was just awesome to see. Devontae Smith as well. So I kind of like that story. I know earlier in the season we all thought, oh, a Buffalo-Philly Super Bowl would be absolutely insane. Well, here you go. I think it's coming up.
Could. In the NFC... Is it going to be a letdown if the Giants do it, beat the Eagles, and then somehow get past one of those teams next week? If the Giants are in it, is it a letdown?
In the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. If they pull off 2 more upsets here.
Like if it ends up like Buffalo and the Giants?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Gross.
It's like that's a New York Super Bowl?
Yeah.
No.
What if it's the Giants and the Chiefs?
Could be fun.
Is that going to be fun, though? Or are people going to be like, the Giants?
I think everyone wants to see the Niners get in. Just to watch that offense and Brock Purdy, if he can finish off his storybook ending. But Yeah, no. Giants, nah.
If the Eagles get past the Giants and the Chiefs get past the Jags, then I don't think there's any loss in the Super Bowl. I think it's all going to be good. Because if it's the Chiefs and the Eagles, or if it's the Bills and the Eagles, or the Bengals and the Eagles, if it's the Chiefs and the Niners or Cowboys, or Bills and the Niners or Cowboys, like, those are all appealing to me. As much as I'm rooting for the Daniel Jones story and everything, I don't.
The stories are good in the first week.
Yeah, I don't need to see it past this.
It's time to move on to the more established characters in this story.
My biggest interest level for Super Bowl, if I'm voting on a Super Bowl interest level here, would be, I'm going to say it's either Bills or Chiefs. I don't know. Back and forth. I'm going to say the most interesting storyline would be Bills-Cowboys.
Yeah. And historically, you know, Super Bowl winning franchise versus one that hasn't got one.
So the Cowboys aren't being talked about like the Niners or the Eagles. The Cowboys have only lost 5 games. I mean,
they're a good team.
That's more interesting. The Niners would be if their quarterback was not Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy's a nice little story, but it's just like if it were Tom Brady today.
You don't want to see Brock Purdy get to the Super Bowl and just fall apart.
That's the game that it happens. Like, that's what I don't want to see. This is finally it. This is the game. 48 minutes after the hour, let's get to what's on the tube on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's Thursday, which means it's Fiesta Thursday at Cable's Pub and Grill. Smothered burritos for $10.99 and house margaritas for just $4. That's Cable's Pub and Grill, where my friends meet. First Advantage, text line 888-530-0043. What's on the tube tonight? Or what's on tonight, rather? Here on KFKA, pregame coverage starting at 5:30 with Jerry Schimmel, Eastern Washington. Coming to town to take on the UNC Bears. The Bears looking to see if they can make it 2 in a row against Eastern Washington. Any side predictions here? Do the Bears win tonight in your mind, Angel? You going with them?
It's hard to say. I haven't watched a lot of Eastern Washington yet, so I'm not really sure what this team looks like. But you're playing at home. I feel like they haven't been at home in forever.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
So back in front of your home crowd, students are back in session, so they should be there. It's a gold rush tonight. That's going to be fun. So I like this team to compete. I think they had a lot of good momentum in the second half against Portland State. And we'll see if Dalen and Matt can't find their shots again and see if the big three can show out.
I'm going to say UNC wins.
Okay.
Dalen Kuntz goes off tonight.
Over under 18.
Over. I'm going to go over.
Career high?
Yeah. What is his career high?
I think 30. It's either 31 or 34.
Yeah, I'm not going to go career high.
Okay.
I would go in the over. I'll get him in the 20s.
Which freshman has the biggest game?
Mm. Is it Brock Wisney? Does he go out tonight? Is he a freshman?
I believe so.
Yeah. Okay. Then he'll be him.
I'll go with Langston Reynolds.
Yeah.
He's been getting a lot of good minutes.
Yeah, he has. And Smiley talks really highly of that guy. So, okay, let's go there. Also tonight, Washington taking on the Buffs. And the Buffs need to kind of rebound after their California trip was pretty bad.
Rebound.
Basketball terms. Yeah, you get it. Buffs. I like the Buffs tonight. That's on ESPNU at 7 o'clock. Let's see. Let's get some information on that game. The Buffs are 9-point favorites. Did they cover that,
That's
though?
A lot.
Yikes. Washington's 0-4 on the road. It is in Boulder. Do they cover that? Washington's not that bad. They did lose a bunch of games at the early to start the month. USC, UCLA, Arizona. They got killed by UCLA, dude. 74-49.
Yeah, give me the Buffs.
You
going to
go
that.
Nine? Yeah. I'm looking at that 49 points against UCLA. Like, okay. Yeah, give me the Buffs. Give me the Buffs there. Okay, so that's locally what's on the tube. We got both the Bears and the Buffs in action tonight. Don't forget, 5:30, we've got the pregame call with you with Jerry Schimmel. 5 o'clock, we got Rams Weekly. So we're covering it all up here. We're going to be talking Colorado State at 5, and then UNC Bears, Eastern Washington at 5:30 on the only one that does it up here, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. All right, closing thoughts for the day. Do I have an issue with Sean Payton and the Bounty Gate stuff? Yeah, I have an issue with it. Would it stop me from making the hire if it weren't for the draft picks? Maybe not. Probably not. But it's still weird. It's clunky that Russell Wilson is calling him. It just speaks more about this organization. We keep talking about it. Well, it's the ownership has got it now. Listen, they just bought this team. It's going to take a while, man, for me to feel confident in this group going forward. It is what it is. We're stuck with them. But give it a year or two before we say, oh, yeah, this is a competent group. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Friday. I'll be live from Crazy Carl's Pizza for the Isaiah Stevens Show Friday. Good night, Northern Colorado.